betting on the swim thing would actually get us far, but I still think it's going to be a tough sell. We might have to add something more in addition to the paper and then try to sell it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, based on the feedback that we got, not at Hot Storage, but I mean, via other means, the internal Hot Storage, organizing committee feedback and all that, there are a few papers, including ours, which was, unfortunately, these were examples of how Hot Storage papers should not be in the future. So, and the main complaint was that these papers are too close to the conference, potential conference version. And in terms of the basic content. And so I feel that, you know, we need to put in some extra efforts into...
Raju, one second. Okay.
Yeah.
Nisha is available too. So, Raju, sorry, can I call it from Nisha's office?
Sure. Yes.
Sure. Thank you. Sorry about that. Yeah.
No problem.
The host left the meeting. This meeting will end in 5 minutes.
So I think that I don't know if I shared this with you, Leo, but you know, as a consequence of our paper and a few other papers that got published in Hot Storage, the future direction of Hot Storage is going to be drastically different. I mean, the future program chairs are... Now, we are putting together like a two-page document to suggest what should be done in the future. We meaning the Hot Storage Steering Committee.
I think it's a good idea. It should be clear what the expectations are.
Yeah, I think that was part of the problem, which was that the expectations were not set right with regards to the kind of papers for Hot Storage. And unfortunately, like I was saying earlier before Nisha joined, is that our paper and a few other papers in the this year's program, were presented as examples of how Hot Storage papers should not be in the future.
Yikes! We made that list?
We made that list. It's not an official list by any means. It was just quoted in verbally in one of the meetings, and the main reason was not that the paper was bad or anything. The main reason was that it was too close to the conference version of the paper. And Hot Storage, they want to encourage more sort of controversial, new, half-baked idea kind of papers.
They clearly don't have any idea how half-baked MKV truly is. But anyway, that's a different matter. Okay.
Well, it doesn't show up in how we wrote the paper, I guess. That was the main problem.
Sorry, I was being sarcastic, Raju. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, as a consequence of that, I feel like, you know, the conference version of the paper better add up to something significantly different than what we submitted to Hot Storage. The way the Usenix organizing committee as well as the Hot Storage steering committee is looking at this is probably going to look at any future submission that extends the Hot Storage paper with a magnifying glass. And there is a lot of overlap between the folks who organize Hot Storage and folks who organize FAST. And so that's why I'm bringing this up. So before you joined, we were talking about, you know, what are the directions we could extend this work, this paper in. And I know we've had elaborate discussions about this topic specifically. But Swami had some time to think about it and he was... he was bringing this up again.
Okay.
So, sorry. Yeah, continuing the same thought, right? So, the two things that we actually discussed to actually expand and talk about how do we provide FTL primitives.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that you mentioned is some of the people didn't even know what a transactional support for a KV store means, in the sense that what does it mean to be transactable inside the FTL, and how are you going to expose it, and what are the guarantees that it provides. Maybe spending a little bit more time on explaining those things would be critical.
Yeah.
The other thing that we tried to, we didn't do much, we actually took a different angle for our hostel paper, is that it's purely FTL optimized, primitives optimized, whereas nobody else was actually doing that was a differentiator.
Right.
So for the full paper, I'm not sure if we can continue going that route, unless we say that FTL is the route to, primitives is one of these ways to go in terms of implementing a key value store that's tightly integrated with the flash device. Well, there's been a ton of other key value stores that's been done, and people actually say they are flash optimized. Either we actually take time to prove that they are not flash optimized, which is going to be tricky.
I think that's going to be very hard.
Exactly.
Experience. I mean, we've had some experience in this space. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so given that we cannot do that, then we actually have to be very careful in terms of positioning the paper. But the reviewers will definitely, given that the full paper, they'll definitely want to know, why didn't we compare with the existing systems and how are we differentiating us from it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
so
true.
I'm still thinking what angle can we actually put, except for the optimization. I'm just still trying to see if we can actually throw some IOPS power endurance angle to it and say that there are ways in which flash should also be evaluated, not just purely in terms of being able to run on flash. How good is it actually run on flash in terms of these three metrics, and see if we can actually show something. Because Silt and Fawn and others, they actually try to show some power and some sort of write amplification metrics in their paper. And if you can actually compare similar metrics for NVM KV and then say that, you know what, this is what we do for the workloads that people have tried. It's not that we have run it against it, but similar comparisons can actually show how an FTL aware optimized KV store can perform and what are the benefits out of it. That might be a good angle to throw in.
Could you repeat the last part, Swami? I didn't quite get it.
So the last part basically was in terms of IOPS, power and endurance.
Yeah.
Power consumption and endurance are the three new metrics that people should actually consider for evaluating things that run on flash.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can actually compare NVM KV on these three metrics, or at least measure NVM KV on these three metrics, and show that it is good in these three metrics, and that it makes it easier to differentiate with the existing work.
Right.
So I guess one question I know, Raju, I have is kind of, since you've been sitting in on these discussions, I guess what I'm worried about is that some of the things that we do, I could almost consider as a longer version of the paper.
Yeah.
If you think about it, sort of the natural next thing you would have done. The other way to do it is to say you took, you did something that was, maybe not necessarily radical, but a reader of the first paper wouldn't naturally be able to assume you might do that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So the latter... the latter point is what I think is going to be important, which is, okay, we talked about a certain idea and a certain kind of design in the previous paper, and then we show in the longer paper, if we just show that, okay, here is all the details and what it takes to make it all work, I think it's not going to be enough for fast. I think we need something of the latter kind, which is, okay, are there new ideas that you really need to bring to the table to make it all work? Right? Or along the lines of, okay, we did it, but we realized there are some limitations, and here are some really important new ideas that are become necessary to make it all work.
So kind of along those lines, so Swami, you and I haven't had a chance to discuss this, but I wonder if we expand upon the idea of DRAM offload. You know, we sort of hinted at it in the original paper by observing that, you know, NVMKV with smaller caches can outperform level DB with larger caches. And so the significant, you know, if you think about it, the significant themes of the hot storage paper were flash APIs and endurance reduction. Those really were the key, and we were complaining about the compaction and additional endurance issues of level DB. Now, if we were to say, and I'm trying to think of simple things that we can do that'll prove a point, so if we were to say glue together NVMKV with Memcached, and I'm suggesting Memcached only because it's simple. But the nice thing about Memcached is that you can actually run some big memory experiments with it, right? And then you say, okay, now here's the other angle, which is the memory reduction angle. Now, the nice thing about that is that is, you know, even though it was sort of hinted at in the hot storage paper, it wasn't really explored in any kind of depth. It'll bring a new application to the equation. So now we're not just talking about level DB, we're also talking about Memcached. You know, and that will sort of give the, but I think from a purely, you know, kind of getting it done perspective, this feels more tractable than some of the other wilder ideas we've discussed, which sound, you know, would be very compelling, but didn't feel tractable.
Right. So Nisha, let me try to understand this, what you just said a little better. So the Memcached angle, are you thinking about it as a distributed, large memory database key value store back-ended by several NVMKV instances or in some other form?
No, I was thinking of something much simpler than that, Raju. If you think about it, you know, what we've said is, okay, LevelDB is a popular key-value store, and it's used mostly for persistent storage.
Right.
It happens to have a serious endurance problem.
Okay.
NVMKV fixes that. And we covered that in hot storage. Now, if we were to take the same NVMKV and say, Memcached is a popular memory key-value store, it happens to consume DRAM. Now, with an NVMKV backing, to the Memcached protocol, you can actually get, say you could get, you know, half the performance with 1/10 of the DRAM, or something like that.
Okay.
Then what you've done is you've taken the same engine, but now you've introduced into the paper a new app and a new value proposition that was not ever really associated with level DB.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, the paper has, you know, several dimensions that simply didn't exist in the hot storage. And what you can do if you want to tie it all together is that you can take the endurance model and the power model that Swami was talking about, and you can actually apply it to both of them. And now it's the same power model. It's nice and new and fresh because it was a power model that was introduced in hot storage. But now you're not just evaluating the hot storage combination. Now you're also evaluating the Memcached combination.
Right.
No, it was probably in hot storage.
We didn't...
We didn't use it in hot storage. What I'm saying is that the cost and power model we were thinking of using itself was presented at hot storage.
Okay.
So one of the novel things about including it in fast is it's nice and refreshing to see it.
Yeah.
Presented at hot storage, incorporated, but if we incorporate it just with the level DB work, then that doesn't feel quite as fresh. But if we incorporate it with both the Memcached work and the level DB work, it might be, I mean, it still feels to me like it doesn't have that wow factor. I guess in some ways, if we're looking for another wow item that wasn't in hot storage, this doesn't still feel to me like it, but this feels like something we could probably do.
Yes.
Memcached is a fairly straightforward, it's a piece of, you know, C code, you know, it's not that hard to, you know, glue something else underneath it. The experiment should be very straightforward to run, you know, things like that.
Like, Nisha, I really like this idea. I'm thinking of a title along the lines of exploring cost, power, and performance trade-offs in flash / memory-based key value stores.
Okay, right? I like that.
So because
yeah,
that's
less about MKV and more about the TCO trade-offs in key value stores.
Yeah, and these are memory / flash or hybrid key value stores, right? So
yeah,
I agree. I completely appreciate, and we are looking at both, going from both angles, right? One is using less memory for a flash-centric key value store, as well as using a little bit of additional flash or maybe more additional flash to reduce the cost of a memory-based key value store. That allows us to explore all of these three dimensions: cost, performance, and energy or power.
Yep.
Okay, that I think that's significant step up from the hot storage work.
Yeah, but the totally different angles, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a paper I would want to read.
Yeah.
Because
if someone else wrote that paper, I want to read.
Yeah, that much I know.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
Because it definitely picks up my curiosity. See, what does that mean for key value stores? And because there's a lot of key value stores coming in, that would be a good way to actually express where the people should measure key value stores on flash, and that might be a good paper in itself.
Yeah.
I like that, actually. Yeah.
The one comment which I don't know if we shared with you, I just remembered it while when you brought up LevelDB, Nisha, is that I don't know why, but one of the feedback we got at Hot Storage was that people are comparing with LevelDB, but there are better key value stores out there. I think Margo was one of the people who said it. Is that something that people agree with?
So, I think there are probably better key value stores out there. I think the problem is that they tend to be sort of distributor stores, and comparing distributor stores against each other is always difficult because of the configuration options involved. And comparing like a single node of Cassandra, for example, isn't as meaningful. But there's Cassandra, there's Mongo. I would ask her which one she's referring to, because that's the more important thing. Because now that ROX has come out, and ROX is basically LevelDB++.
Yeah.
So a lot of people might be feeling now is not the time to do any more work with LevelDB. People should be comparing against ROX. So I don't know which one she's referring to, whether she's talking about like the Cassandra Mongo contingent, or whether she's talking about the
ROX contingent. Yeah, I didn't have a chance to ask her what she's thinking about particularly, but just a thought. I mean, I just remembered that, and I didn't know if you had any suggestions. At this point, I feel like we have already invested a lot of our resources into LevelDB, so maybe we should just stick to it unless we have a lot more time.
Yeah, that's my feeling also. Like, nothing is actually jumping out me as an alternative. So the problem with comparing with Cassandra is that Cassandra really isn't a single node KV store. It has so many sophisticated multi-node features that, frankly, saying that NVMKV outperforms Cassandra is essentially meaningless, because anybody who needs Cassandra cannot use NVMKV.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel that that comparison isn't, very meaningful.
So the other thing that we can actually do is actually do it on RocksDB, which is a natural extension to LevelDB, and then they can, since it's been fine-tuned to work on Flash, we can actually compare with RocksDB, and then since RocksDB also provides a pluggable engine, we can also say that, hey, you know what, even though we can compare it, we can actually make RocksDB better by simply plugging in underneath it, and then still provide all the benefits that NVMKV provides. That might be another angle, because people haven't heard about RocksDB at all, and there are no big comparisons, anything that I have seen that people have done so far.
Right.
It seems to me that if we go to that approach, the paper might become medical about the actual APIs as opposed to a key value store, which I have nothing against that, but if that is not what we want, then going down this path might take us there. Does that make sense?
Not sure I understand, Leo, but one issue with RocksDB was that we were never able to get the YCSB workloads to run on RocksDB.
They don't have that. Well, last time I checked, they didn't have it. Maybe they do have now. I don't know. But what I meant to say is that if we modify RocksDB so that it actually uses our key value store to store its data, then a natural question that might pop out is like, what happens if instead of doing that, you just modify RocksDB to use the API provided by GraphQL? What's the benefit?
Hmm. I see. That's interesting.
I mean, the API provided by GraphQL are very interesting. Everybody asks questions about it. Everybody sees the benefit of having such a powerful API. So it's very easy for us to make a statement that leads the guy the interest toward the API and not the key value store.
Right. I think there is another benefit of using the KV stores, any KV store as is, as a black box, which is then that it becomes easier for people to reproduce what we do. And so if we say that, okay, in terms of power/performance/energy cost, if we compare NVM KV versus RocksDB versus LevelDB, then here are the conclusions we draw for the YCSB workloads or any other workload, then people can easily reproduce that, as opposed to if we say, okay, we're going to make changes to RocksDB, try to insert our layer below it, then the question becomes how easy it is for someone else to reproduce the work. And not having confidence on reproducibility also raises questions about whether these results are believable, right? So that's my concern here.
It makes sense. I was just trying to put a new angle saying that it's extensible, that it can support this thing, but maybe we don't have to go to the extent that it could be a pluggable engine underneath, storage engine underneath it.
Right. So what you're saying is that it could be like it could be a selling point for maybe the flexibility of NVM KV, that it can, you know, be inserted under RocksDB. So one experiment, as opposed to something that drives the conclusions of the paper.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sorry, I should have been clear. Yeah.
Okay, sure. That makes sense.
Yeah, so I just want to bring in different, like, initially I was thinking, what are the new angles that we can actually try to throw in to make it be different than the existing paper?
Sure.
This was one of the things that I thought about, yeah.
Okay, so now with respect to with respect to this new direction, which I really like, that the exploring the energy trade-offs and energy performance cost trade-offs. I mean, what do we have in terms of the model, and what does it take for us to generate numbers from that model? What kind of input or data do we need to generate to plug into those models?
So, it's a good question. So, in terms of power or endurance, we have some internal tools that actually measure the actual power consumed by the drive when we run the workload.
Okay. So, it's so not as much of a model as it is a direct measurement.
Direct measurement, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we can definitely measure performance, that's straightforward. And the fourth metric is cost, where we can actually see, like for the DRAM and flash case, since we know cost per gigabyte, we can actually use the current cost of prices of these things and then come with a metric or value for it.
Okay.
But the other interesting thing that we need to find out is, since you're actually going to get DRAM, DRAM power consumption is higher. It might be interesting to see if you can measure DRAM power consumed by the DRAM module while running this benchmark, so that we can add that to the mix. I don't know how to do it or if it's feasible, but that will be an interesting thing to do too.
Yeah, measuring DRAM. Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, sorry to cut you off. I was just going to say that we did a project about 3 or 4 years ago where we wanted to really measure the power consumed just by DRAM. And it was really difficult because basically what you need to do is to open up whatever box you have and plug in a wattmeter directly into certain points of the motherboard, so that you can measure the DRAM power consumption, and we could never get it to work. So I don't know if there is something that you guys already have in house, then maybe yes, we should go for it. But otherwise, it's a big project is what we learned.
There's other thing that we can actually, one of the other things that we can do is how much DRAM is actually consumed by it, and then we can use some existing model and then extrapolate for DRAM power usage.
That's what I would recommend, because I've done some of this at Intel, and measuring DRAM power consumption accurately is very difficult. So what I would suggest is that we simply use some standard metric, because what we're illustrating, perhaps more than the actual results, is a methodology by which these things could be traded off and understood relative to each other. So as long as we use something that's been previously vetted as our, you know, DRAM power consumption metric, and we can acknowledge that it could be better. Then I think it'll serve its purpose.
Right. So ultimately, just to conclude quickly here, ultimately what we did was we used a DRAM power consumption model, which we realized was of questionable accuracy. The Micron was the one who provided this power model. So I can share it with you, and we can try to use it. But the problem with that model is that you need a lot of low-level information that you need to feed into the model, which becomes very challenging, because you need to have basically a memory trace, memory access trace. And
that itself is, that's a trade-off there.
Yeah. So, I mean, a memory model, a power model for memory could be challenging, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and I don't think we really have the time or the resources to try to address that problem here at the moment, right, Raju? It'll be very hard.
In the meantime, what I can do very quickly is to see what the recent past, if somebody has done some data modeling and what they have done to do it. So if you can, at least I'll definitely take a look at what Micron had about the DRAM model.
I can forward that. I can forward something to you, Swami. I'll have to dig up in my email. I'm sure it's there somewhere. This is from 3 or 4 years ago. But at least it'll be something for you to, as a starting point.
It's a public model, right, Raju?
It is a public model.
Okay, that will be very helpful. And then we can see if there is something that's easier and reasonably good, or good enough that we can actually be comfortable about talking about in the paper.
Yeah.
If there's one that we'll see, if not, we have to tell them that this is what we wanted to do, but given this thing we had, it might be a little bit weaker, but it still convey the point that we want to talk about.
Okay.
So if that is the case, then I'll also see if there's a YCSB benchmark for RocksDB. That way, I like the fact that we can simply compare these three things that we know for sure, which is purely hard disk optimized and flash optimized and FTL aware evaluation. So that will be a good spectrum.
So what did we finally decide on? Are we going the ROCs route? Are we going the memory route? Are we going BOSS route? I don't think we can afford to go both routes. It's going to be a lot of work.
I agree.
So I want to be okay with paper in 2 months, right?
So. I agree. I think I think the memory route is probably a lot more easy to sell, because then we have a easily recognizable contribution. The rocks route seems like more of a technology-based contribution, which some people may not really appreciate. I think the memory route, at least from where I'm where I'm seeing this, seems like the memory route is a little bit more broad and generic, that a wider audience will be able to appreciate.
I guess the thing is that I'm worried about
the rock shelf for me is that we could work really hard on it, and someone might still take a longer version of the hot storage paper. But as a memory route, you know, no matter who you are and how little you understood the hot storage paper, I think you can grasp the fact that the memory route was not in there.
My main concern, I agree with this. My main concern was that since Margo mentioned that LevelDB wasn't the state of the art, and if you do memcache, it's even more older than LevelDB. That's the only thing, but given that the angle is different, I think it might still, we might be able to.
And we would need to, so that's the thing, is that I think we would, or I could see someone complaining that memcache is old. I think we would have to make it very clear that we are not using memcache because we believe it's a state-of-the-art KV store. We're using it because it's an open-source software that consumes a lot of memory.
Yeah.
Right?
The trade-off, I understand the trade-off between.
And it's about the memory trade-off, it's not about a key value store acceleration or anything like that. So as long as we do that, that might be enough. And off the top of my head, I'm struggling to think of another KV store that's open source that uses a lot of memory.
Yeah, and just to clarify, Margo's comment was not that you shouldn't be doing it. She was just, she was just saying that, okay, well, it's fine that you did it, but there are better KV stores than LevelDB out there, and you should consider, evaluating against those. So, her comment was not along the lines of, I didn't know how this paper got in, right? It was more along the lines of, okay, well, you guys should go and look at what else is newer out there.
Okay.
Actually, I think I got a pretty good impression. Like, I think she actually liked the paper.
Yeah, well, except that afterwards, in the other meeting, she said things like, well, this paper is too close to a complete paper at FAST. Right? So yeah, I mean, maybe that's the reason she liked it. Who knows?
And that's the thing. It got very good reviews, and probably because of exactly that. But I think the parent's point is still valid.
No, but there was still complete for. But the problem is, if it's too incomplete, in the sense that then the last paper that we submit introduces at least thought-provoking one. It's like people, it's very raw. People can't understand. They just reject it. And if it's actually close to completion, then people aren't happy too. So I think we need to find a sweet spot for hot storage that is almost somewhere in between these 2 lines.
Well, also, I think the part of the problem was that the program committee was not given the kind of guidance that we are currently finalizing, right? That was the other issue, which is it's not the problem with our paper or what we submitted. It's just the guidelines to the program committee and the was not clear enough as to what should be preferred.
Yeah.
In that case, maybe we should try to submit that paper again to Hot Storage next year.
Sure, yeah. I don't know. It's kind of lying in the shelf somewhere. We have to revive it.
So I would rather do it for Hot OS. That's due in Jan 11th or sometime, than Hot OS.
I think Hot OS by invitation workshop. You cannot just submit there, I think. Can you?
Have you changed it? I thought everybody can submit to Hot OS. Did they change it?
I thought everyone could submit to Hot OS. Maybe you can't attend unless you have accepted
papers. Sorry. Maybe I'm mistaken here. Hold on. Let me see what they have here.
Sure. So I'm not sitting in front of a laptop this year.
I really think that discussion that they were putting together in that paper is definitely worth reading.
It's open. Sorry, it's open. You're right that you can only attend if you have a paper or something. It's not an open workshop.
The only thing I would watch out for is while the paper is probably every bit as unbaked as it was back then, between this whole CNIA activity and all of that, public thinking has evolved to some extent. And so we will need to incorporate public thinking and make sure that we have something firm and fresh to say that is controversial in the light of all the other persistent memory papers that have been published recently.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yes, so that needs to be revisited in a major way. Going back to this, I know that we are at the end of the hour and I have to jump out, but let me finish quickly what I have in mind. So in terms of the writing, and maybe it will be, before we jump into the writing, it might be worth just agreeing on a message, takeaway message / storyline via email, based on our conversation today. I don't know what you guys feel.
If we start writing, we should also make sure we have something compelling to say about the memory angle.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would go kind of downhill there.
Yeah. And the other thing to explore in parallel is to see how easy it is to integrate with the Memcached DB. I don't know if you guys already have some experience on that.
So, I haven't done this in a while, but I did work with Memcached DB code a long time ago, and that's kind of where my impression has come from. First of all, I believe it's written in C, and it's a relatively small piece of code. The protocol upstream is public and then it maps into some sort of a hash structure inside. Now, this is several years ago, so it may have changed. And so I think what we would need to do is to figure out, in place of that hash structure, can we sort of shove in our KV store and things like that. So my guess is it's not going to be that complicated, but maybe we should all go off and take a look and then think up in a few days and see if, the integration looks straightforward.
Yeah, well, I suggest that maybe Leo can take a look at that as well in a more concrete manner. Leo, you have some experience with Memcached, I believe.
Yeah, we actually used that also as a comparison point for SoftVPN, the SoftVPN work.
Yeah.
We modified it so that it uses SoftVPN as a backend storage. But are we talking about here Memcached or Memcached DB? I know that there's one that is in memory and the other one is not.
No. We are talking about Memcached DB, not Memcached DB.
Right. I recall that we compared Memcached DB plus the soft PM backend with against Memcached DB. Or maybe I'm mistaken completely. Leo, could you maybe provide some clarification here?
I don't remember the details, but I think that makes sense. Because one of them doesn't have storage and the other one does.
Yeah, that's what I remember too. Okay, so which means that you are in a good position to at least do the evaluation now. And so you have experience with both Memcached and NVMKV. Should we be looking at some newer version of NVMKV or just pull whatever is out there in the public domain?
I think what is there in the public domain, the one that we gave last time is what it is. I don't think there's any new major changes that actually went in. So I'd actually coordinate with Leo and check what version he has and then make sure that's the latest version that we have internally too.
Right.
I can do that at my end.
Right. The other point that I want to make here quickly is that the Memcached DB is a distributed in-memory database, right? So that's an angle that we could potentially explore. I'm not saying that we should, but I believe that's a possibility.
Yes, and I think if I remember right, the Memcached, you know, distribution is really more on the client side. So if you do an effective integration with the server component, the distribution sort of comes along for the ride, and that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it means we don't have to do much. Now, Memcached with, you know, B as in boy, is a little tricky because when we initially did NVMKV, we compared it with Memcached, and a lot of the reviewers panned us for that because Memcached is a piece of code that really hasn't had many contributions in the last several years, so it's considered to be really out of date. And so, and that's why I was saying that, like, we claimed that we could outperform it. So, Raju, we're going to need to, I need to get to my next meeting. Maybe we can continue. Should we just talk again in a few days?
Well,
see where we might be at?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Sorry about that.
I'll send it out so we can discuss our email, Raju.
Yeah, right. Sounds good.
I'm really sorry, Raju. I'm running a bit late. Sorry about that. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
The host left the meeting. This meeting will end in 5 minutes.
All right. So, Leo, I guess both of them left, right?
I think so.
All right. So, maybe you can... I think the Memcached plus NVMKV angle is certainly worth exploring. So, maybe you can spend some time doing that. And, you know, let us know by email what you find.
Okay.
We still have the infrastructure
in
place, right? For the NVMKV, we still have the card and we have everything, don't we?
You're talking about the machine that has been set up to run experiments?
Yeah.
Yeah, everything is ready to go.
Okay. All right, good. All right, I have to go to another meeting, Leo, but I'll catch up with you later, all right?
Okay, thank you, Ryan.
Okay, thank you. Bye now.
Bye.